interesting pastime. This is being re-narrated after the appearance of Vritrasura. And why Vritrasura became Vritrasura. So here it is explained. It was due to a curse by Parvati. Of course, this is a very interesting set of affairs that are being explained here. Question is, did Chitraketu commit any offense? Actually, he says he doesn't. Parvati felt offended. Interesting. We have two dynamics here. Same situation, two different points of view. And because of the two different points of view, what do we have? We have tension. Or anger occurs. So much so that anger has caused a great personality, Parvati. She is not a small person. She is actually the personification of the material energy. She's Shakti Mom. She's powerful. She's Shakti. Not Shakti Mom. She's powerful. She can actually create and destroy universes. So she's not a small personality. So to get her mad, you better watch out. It's not safe. So, Shiva has to be careful sometimes. But here, after being cursed, he's not at all upset, although he feels like the curse is not right. And he's accepting the curse because he's seeing it as his destiny. But the circumstances that brought about it was the difference of opinion. This is interesting to see. Sometimes we can take this principle, and it's a very common principle that causes disagreements. What is that? Misunderstandings or different visions of the same situation. Sometimes we see in Krishna Consciousness Society, devotees have difficulties with each other or with certain, because of circumstances. It's not that the philosophies are different or that the lifestyles are different, it's just that a circumstance gives one a different perspective and another person a different perspective. And because those perspectives sometimes clash and cause sometimes enmity or even anger, and even sometimes, you know, cursing. It was an interesting situation in the life of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada's godbrothers, this was story was narrated in the book by Mula Prakriti. She talks about the days before Prabhupada became Prabhupada and interviewing many of his friends, godbrothers, associates, and people in general who knew Prabhupada. And it was one story that Vamana Maharaj narrated, how the godbrothers were very upset about Srila Prabhupada when he went to the West. Because Prabhupada, after he got there, he was sending letters for mridangas, kartals, and other paraphernalia to be sent to America so he could begin his Hare Krishna movement in the West. And there was no response. Now, at the same time, what happened was Prabhupada's sannyas guru, Bhakti Pragya Keshava Maharaj, became very sick. This was around 1967. And so much so, he went into a coma. And the devotees, the godbrothers and others were very concerned about his health. So they wrote letters to Srila Prabhupada while Prabhupada was in America. Now those letters, the only address they had was where Prabhupada first went. It was the place of Sarli Agarwal, that address there. So Prabhupada had already left from there. And the letters were coming there, inviting Prabhupada to come back to India. Your sannyas guru, our godbrother, he's very sick. And Prabhupada never got the letters. Because when Sally Agarwal got them, there was no forwarding address. Prabhupada didn't say where he was going from there. So the letters never reached Prabhupada. At the same time, Prabhupada sending letters to these same god brothers saying, send me mridangas, send me cartels. And they're thinking, why is he not even concerned about his, you know, his sannyas guru? So therefore, they became very upset with Prabhupada. And then they approached Prabhupada, actually after many years, when Prabhupada came to India. And they explained that. And then Prabhupada explained that, you know, I never did get the letters. But of course, when Prabhupada did learn about his sannyas guru being sick, it was actually already the time where he had left his body. And that was in 1968 in Seattle. Prabhupada called all the devotees together in there and gave a wonderful class glorifying Keshava, Bhakti Pragya Keshava Maharaj. Told a little bit of history of the of his relationship with him and how he had given him sannyas. And asked each and every devotee to, Prabhupada wrote some condolences and asked each and every devotee in the temple to sign it personally. And then he sent it off. But somehow or other, you know, some of the godbrothers never learned about Prabhupada's, you know, concern. But they were concerned that he didn't respond to their concerns. But Prabhupada didn't know about it. So because of this circumstantial miscommunication, there was enmity, or actually, you know, very bad feelings developed. So you can see sometimes a situation is provoked by circumstance. It happens sometimes. And because of those circumstances, what happens? There's tensions, lack of communication. Another story. One time Prabhupada was with, some guests came to see Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was there. And Prabhupada said to one devotee who was there, go get him some Mahaprasada. So Prabhupada, this boy, went into the Pujari room and said, Prabhupada wants some Mahaprasadam for a guest. And the Pujari said, well, the offering has just gone on the altar. There's no Mahaprasadam now, but you wait. And it'll be off soon. So the devotee went back, told Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, go on the altar and get the maha. Told him to go right on the altar. So the boy, you know, when Prabhupada tells you something, you know, it's not a matter of you have to explain it to everybody, you know. You do it. It's just like that's the instruction. It's clear. So he just went, and the Pujari was sitting there chanting Gayatri, and here's this devotee walking right on the altar, right past him, goes on the altar, picks up the Didi's plates in the middle of the offering, and walks off and just goes and brings it to Prabhupada. Now this Pujari, I don't know if he finished his Gayatri or not, but anyway, he came running after, yelling, you know, and then finally he ran up and there was Prabhupada. And then he was really upset. But Prabhupada then explained, you know, this guest is coming in, so he's a special guest. So Prabhupada gave him the maha, and it said that guest immediately disappeared. So some people say that that guest was a special guest, that it might have appeared because of Srila Prabhupada's power. Who knows who he was, yes? Yeah. Yeah, Prabhupada, of course, only when great souls give such instructions can one breach the general rules and regulations for procedure. But Prabhupada could do that because, you know, he was pure and he was, you know, in touch with Krishna. But again, we see a circumstance where a pujari becomes very angry. So again, we see sometimes there is, this is what this is being illustrated here in this particular pastime. Chitruketu, what did he do? He didn't really commit any really offense. He just came into the assembly of great sages and saints, and Shiva was there, and Parvati was there, and Parvati was sitting on the lap of Lord Shiva in the midst of all these, and no one considered it, you know, be a transgression of etiquette. And Chitraketu just laughed. He thought it was kind of humorous that Parvati was sitting on Shiva's lap in the front of all these sages and saints. So, but Parvati took it very, I don't know how she took it, but it seems like she took it so strongly that she cursed him. Now, he's accepting the curse. He's not saying, well, Mataji, you know, you should consider my point of view. You know, I, you have your point of view, and I have my point of view, and so let's discuss it. He's in a subordinate position. He can't do that. He's respectful. He accepts her curse, and here Prabhupada explains how. It says that being aware of how things play themselves out according to one's destiny, he accepted it in that way. He didn't see it as a wrongdoing. He accepted it as something he was destined to get, but at the same time he disagreed with her, you know, her anger. Interesting how that is. So sometimes the devotee is put into circumstances and there's some misunderstanding, some miscommunication. But behind the scenes, there's another reason. There's always another reason. Of course, this is a very elevated state of Krishna consciousness where one accepts everything and anything that happens as there's a reason behind it. The hand of the Lord is there. Unless one is fixed in Krishna consciousness, very, what we say, difficult to rationalize how everything is coming in that way. But there is always a reason. Of course, in the name of Maya, we don't accept Maya as Krishna and say, well, we should accept Maya. We don't do that. You know, just like if somebody's speaking some nonsense philosophy, we can't say, well, that person speaking nonsense philosophy is sent here by Krishna, and therefore we should listen. And that's not exactly accepting things according to one's destiny. One has to make a discrimination. But at the same time, that discrimination is not always clear. You know, as in this case here, you know, he Trichagetu told Parvati, although what I have said is not wrong. What I did is, it's not wrong. But if you think it's wrong, anyway, I accept that. I accept the fact that you feel the way you do, but please excuse me. He's asking for pardon for something he feels he didn't do is wrong. Vaishnava humility. Vaishnava humility. Vaishnava is always humble and accepts everything. We were talking yesterday in class how circumstances are arranged by Krishna in order to purify one from some material tendency or for some wrong activity. Prabhupada used to quote that verse all the time. Tate nukampa shushamikshamana bhujan vivavikritam vipakam ridvavahubir viradhanam asteji vetiyo mukti padesha dayabhak. It's such an important verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam in the 10th canto, where it explains that one who prays to the Lord within their hearts, thanking the Lord, my dear Lord, you've put me into this difficult circumstance, you put me in this reverse simply by your mercy, and I'm suffering because of that, but I know that this suffering that you're giving me is actually a small little token of what I actually deserve. Wow, that's not easy, is it? To accept situations as the arrangement of the Lord. And then the verse goes on, one who prays like that, then the kingdom of God becomes his rightful claim. He inherits, you know, the not the opportunity, he's guaranteed to go back home, back to Godhead. So that verse is from the 10th canto, 14th chapter, verse number 8. Please read it, the purport is really dynamic. It's really amazing. So to accept reverses as the... And a devotee takes reverses as an opportunity to move forward in Krishna consciousness. Things don't always go our way, yes? If it always went our way, then what is the question of purification? Right? What is the question of purification? Of course, when we become fully purified, then things usually go your way, because your way and Krishna's way become the same. But till we reach that stage of purification, there's always that feature of Krishna arranging things in such a way as to bring the sincere devotee to a higher stage. What happened to Chitraketu? Before, while he was Chitraketu, he was a great soul. He was riding around the universe. Before them he was, what was his name? One Maharaj. Yeah, Maharaj Chitraketu. He became Chitraketu, free from the king's business. He was a king. And somehow by the mercy of Narada Muni and Parvat Muni, he got freed from that occupation in the king, became a pretty much self-realized soul. And he had the power to travel everywhere. But here, Krishna wanted to take him to another level, bring him back to Godhead. And so he arranged him for him to take the birth of a demon. Wow! If Krishna said, I'm arranging your birth as a demon so you can fight with the devotees and go back to home, back to Godhead, what would you do? You'd say, okay. Well, if Krishna said it, you probably would say, okay. But if it wasn't so clear... Look what Krishna does to his devotees. Look what he did to the Pandavas. Oh my God. They were exiled for their kingdom. They lost all their possessions. Their wife was disgraced. And they were put into a house, set on fire. And then... what happened after that? Bhima was given a poison cake, and they were trying to be in different ways. They were killed. When Bhishma Dev was on the battlefield in his last days, he was, you know, he's such a powerful, sober warrior, but he was practically in emotional tears, just thinking how much the Pandavas had suffered due to the situations they were put in. He was overwhelmed. What Krishna does to his devotees, just to purify them. But he doesn't do that to everybody. That's special mercy. Look what he did to Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was a pure soul, but he put him in a situation when his father was trying to kill him in so many ways. Of course, the Lord protected him. So many situations where devotees are put into danger, calamities, reverses. Why? For two reasons. Maybe for three, but at least two. One is to show their glories, to show how glorious they are, that they remain fixed. Chitraketu could have said, you know, Parvati, Mataji, I think you're a little bit off. And, you know, I'm Chitraketu, you know, I'm kind of like purified, and you don't see that. And we can discuss my situation, I'm sure you'll come to a higher realization, and you'll relieve your curse, and you'll offer your obeisances to me, and also give me some Mahaprasadam from Lord Shiva, probably. He wasn't trying to, like, you know, defend himself, and, you know, he was a great soul. He said, I'm not wrong, but still, I'll take your curse. Thank you very much. And then, of course, the most famous verse is coming up in verse number 28 when Shiva saw that. How he acted in that situation. Lord Shiva himself, Mahajan, the greatest of one, the greatest of Vaishnavanam, Yata, Shambhu, the greatest of all Vaishnavas, he was overwhelmed with amazement to see how the devotees of Krishna are so much detached from everything, because wherever situation they're put in, they just remember Krishna. It doesn't matter. Prabhupada says a devotee is like a compass. You always set a compass to gauge towards the north. That is this direction. So a devotee, if he's in hell, he's thinking of Krishna. If he's in heaven, he's in thinking of Krishna. He's in Bhaktivedanta manner, he's thinking of Krishna. Wherever the devotee is, somehow or other, they keep their consciousness fixed on Krishna. It's not so much the circumstances. Sometimes we try to improve circumstances. And sometimes we can do that in order for our service to maybe be executed more effectively or more responsibly. But ultimately, the best situation is what Chitraketu was doing. He's just remembering the Lord, that's all. In any situation, just remember the Lord. That is, you know, that is how we say perfection. And then hell becomes heaven. And if you forget the Lord, even heaven becomes hell. And the scriptures are so full of this one statement. Prabhupada emphasized it, that the perfection is to remember Krishna in all circumstances. And you know, devotees usually remember Krishna when things go wrong, yes? That's why Krishna makes things go wrong. He knows he gets remembered more when we get reverses. Too many good things happening, and then what happens? We start to think, I'm okay. I'm going on all right. Things are working according to plan A, B, and C, and therefore plan D will come soon. You know, it's like that. We start, and Krishna says, oh, you're thinking you're in control. All right, I'll just show you a little something. And how do you go? Krishna, save me. Oh, okay, I will. But keep staying in that consciousness, and I won't have to keep saving you. So, this is Krishna consciousness. This is that in any situation, and we won't be put in situations such as this. Of course, unless you want to. But I don't think even Krishna will let you, even if you want to. He won't. Prabhupada says Krishna will not test you beyond your ability to pass. Krishna will not test you beyond your ability to pass. He won't give you tests that are beyond, that will cause you to fall down. Krishna doesn't do that. He may put you in difficult circumstances that seem to be beyond your ability to pass, but that's just your perception. That's your perception. You can always remember Krishna. You can always call out to Krishna. You can always see things according to how they should be seen by understanding things through knowledge. So we won't get tested like the Pandavas. We won't get tested like Prahlad Maharaj or even maybe Haridas Thakur. But still we get tested. We get tested. Krishna always putting us in circumstances where we have to call out for him. And they're always the best circumstance. And therefore, devotee, go back to that prayer again. Tate nukampa shushamikshamana. Write this down. It's the most important philosophical teachings that we can use in our day-to-day practice of Krishna consciousness. Aside from Trinadapi Sunichena, that one's first. This other verse is next. If you can always keep these two verses prominent in your practice of devotional service, then you'll never be able to be, what we say, defeated on the path of devotional service. Tate nukamba, that the Lord arranges for the devotee to become, what we say, free from those tendencies that keep us entangled in material consciousness, whatever those tendencies may be. And a devotee is happy to see a situation where they can remember the Lord, to take shelter of the Lord like that. We don't want to be what we call fair weather devotees. I remember when I first joined the Hare Krishna movement in New Vrindavan. And New Vrindavan was really tough in those days. It's still tough, but it's changed. Its toughness has changed in a different way. It was really difficult because the place was so cold, and it was all there was mud. And there was no clothes. We had some clothes, but not much. And it was just so austere there. I mean, it was really austere. And so, I mean, when the winter, you know, the population of New Vrindavan would swell in the summer times and decrease drastically in the cold weather. I mean, really. You know, it was like pregnancy is in, then after pregnancy, you know, it was like it was really decreased. It really used to go down. So there was one devotee, he would come regularly every year, and then he would always come for the summer, and then in the wintertime he would leave. And so it was like that, you know, because of the austerities. But some of us stayed through the winter. And, you know, although it was difficult, there was special mercy thanks when you accept those difficulties as a feature of our surrender. Devotees don't mind difficulties. The worst thing is if things are going too nicely and you think you're all right. That's the word. A little difficulty causes a devotee to become what we say, more serious. Sometimes devotees try to avoid difficulties, just like to associate with devotees regularly in the proper mood is a great austerity. It is a great austerity. Because sometimes personalities clashes, differences of opinions are clashing, circumstantial, what we say, misunderstandings appear, and then there's sometimes a tension or a lack of proper relationships that develop. And some devotees go away, thinking it's easier not to deal with these things. But then again, they miss the opportunity to, you know, get the mercy. Because to stay and to somehow try to work up to the standard is actually Krishna consciousness. It's actually the opportunity to make advancement. So devotees don't mind difficulties, and they see reverses as opportunities to go forward. They say, if the going gets easy, it's an old saying, if the going gets easy, you may be going downhill. Because, you know, if you're going, you know, when you're riding your bicycle, right, it's nice going downhill, right? It's easy. So if the going gets easy, you may be going downhill. Not necessarily. It's not necessarily like that. But it can be. So we look for the opportunity to take shelter of the Lord. And we look for the opportunity to stay fixed in our devotional service despite whatever Krishna, our material energy, who's working under the direction of Krishna, arranges for us. Chitraketu said he begged Parvati's pardon, paid his obeisances, says, thank you very much. Now I'm on my way to hell. Jai Sri Sri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ji Ki Jai. Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. So, any questions?